Well, listener, that is a short review about traditional musical instrument of Bataknese called Hasapi. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next edition of The Rhythm of the Indonesian Archipelago.
The Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology has allocated 1.8 trillion rupiah to promote research in 8 priority areas. She specified that the 8 priority fields comprise of food, energy, health, defense, maritime, downstreaming and industrialization, digitalization and advanced materials and manufacturing. President Prabowo Subianto on Sunday declared that the Republic of Indonesia cannot be conquered by any nation, saying its people would rather die defending their homeland and then be recolonized. Speaking at a military honor ceremony at the Kopassus Special Forces Training Center in Batu Jajar, West Bandung District, West Java, he stressed that the safeguarding the Republic's sovereignty and territorial integrity is a nationwide effort, not limited to the borders. He emphasized that with this participation of this entire population in defending every inch of the country, we cannot be defeated. And that was the news.
Indonesia is the most beautiful land in the universe. The land where we were born. The nation where we grew up. So many colors that live together in peace. With a million timeless treasures. With an abundance of natural wealth. Indonesia is not just wonderful. Indonesia Wonderland. Kota baru gunungnya bermega. Bermega bermanapur di Samarang. Bermanapur di Samarang. Datamu lawanlah Arinda. Arinda iman di dadara. Sama layak iman di dadara. Sama layak. Hey! Sayang, sayang, si tato kaan. Matay go, tay go, gorokan. Sayang, 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 si tato.
Thank you.
from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fredela. Thank you for listening.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled December Kelabu or Gloomy December by Erika Rashid, accompanied by Dapur Music Project. The song tells about the sadness of someone who is left by her lover without news for 2 years. She keeps waiting for a promise or arrival from her lover, but it never comes true. The song, created by Arianto and popularized by singer Maharani Kahar, was released in 1982 in Maharani Kahar's debut album of the same name. This album became the most popular album of Maharani Kahar's career. The song was not only popular in its time, but also continues to be remembered and even resung by many artists across generations, like Yuni Shara, who released this song in 1997. Then the punk music group Karena Mereka also released this song in 2018. Well, listener, here is Erika Rashid featuring Dapur Music Project with the song December Kelabu. Enjoy!
lenyap hilang di telan air hujan. Engkau tak datang. Bulan ini Desember kedua, aku menanti.
Dengarkan lagu ini, menjadi saksi nyata bahwa memilikimu adalah anugerah terindah untuk diriku. Jangan abaikan ingatku, jangan remehkan perasaanku ini. Mungkin ku bukanlah yang terbaik, tapi kan ku lakukan yang terbaik untuk bahagia kamu. Oh.
Bunga, gua mau bilang.
Apa, Bar? Mau nembak gue lagi lo ya? Iya, Bar, gue mau kok.
Ku ingin kau jadi milikku, temani diriku seumur hidupku, dan ku berjanji takkan sakiti.
Is one of the villages located at Tumbak Island, Tumbak Village, Posumain Sub-District, Southeast Minahasa, North Sulawesi. Tumbak Island is an uninhabited island. The name of Tumbak is an acronym which means mangrove tree because there are a lot of mangrove trees growing at the village. The trip to the village from Manado City takes around 3 hours. The village has amazing panorama and wonderful attractions. We recommend you to stay at the island for 2 days to truly enjoy the best experiences there. One of the features of Tumbak Island is its white sand. The crystal clear and blue ocean looks incredibly beautiful. The clearness of the water makes the coral reefs under the sea visible from the surface. If you want to explore the underwater beauty of Tumbak, we suggest you to rent a cottage near the mangrove forest. The distance between the village and the cottage, which is located in the middle of the sea, only takes 10 minutes by taking boat. Visitors who come to island will be fascinated by the wonderful scenery. You can also witness the beautiful sunrise and sunset from the cottage. In addition, you can also do snorkeling from the cottage because there are various snorkeling spots near the cottage. There are also many kinds of sea creatures such as fish and starfish. If you are capable enough of doing snorkeling and diving, you can explore a 300-meter sea fan forest with a width of 3 to 6 meters. However, if you still have no experience in snorkeling and diving, you can hire a guide who will help you. You can also try different experiences by snorkeling at night. The beach also offers other activities for tourists such as fishing, diving, and exploring mangrove forest. In addition, you can also enjoy the tasty baked fish surrounding the beach.
Semesta to the world.
Kasolami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasolami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasolami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasolami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasolami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasolamis. Kasolami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasolami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasolami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasolami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Figure it out from where I've been escaping.
makes the world. I'm not just somebody's pleasure.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smiles. Kindness and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand and dance with me. A nation with a soul. Symphony of sight and sound. Across the beautiful nature. Go through the colors of paradise. Oh, what a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful. Wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and it's white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tape. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Yang jaya di lautan para
millennium. Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat ombak 9 meter. Saya kok pengin lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Ke Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an,
1840-an. Period around the 19th centuries and around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Blitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
Sembilan belas, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Sukarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongkol. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan palari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
people's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Finisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Finisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Finisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Finisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Tennessee became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Galangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banan ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The pinisi ship was built originally from Arab Lumpumba, South Sulawesi, starting from the year before independence in 1945. After independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana, dan di segi pengalaman saja, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjungan.
With the pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2.5 months. Has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang bisa untuk pakai tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papangnya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed. The bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali seling. Tali tian. Nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making Phoenician sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Phoenici in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Kata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sail. And there is another point there. Boat is not